Dave, I hope you're doing well. Welcome back to Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's good to be back. It's been a while. Got to be pretty excited down in T-Town for a game coming up, I think.
Yeah, just another game. Just another game in Tuscaloosa.
Right. Come on. Dude, it's pretty cool, though. First semifinal playoff game. I'm driving down from here to the Rose Bowl for the one opposite of your team, and I'm excited to be there.
No doubt. I'm just teasing, but it's let me go back to college football playoffs for a couple of minutes just to sort of break it down. From your perspective as a guy that likes to crunch numbers and get a little bit deeper into college football, when you look at the selection committee, did they get it right?
I think they got it right given the parameters and rules they're required to follow. Okay, because they were supposed to choose the best four teams with parameters. Okay, and you know, before they made their final decision, if you recall, about 3 weeks prior to that, there was a lot of heat putting on the committee for head-to-head, you know, because TCU was ahead of Baylor. And Long said, look, head-to-head's going to matter if all else being equal. And what did the Big 12 tell the committee about their co-champions? Everything's equal. And, you know, in my opinion, what the committee did is said, fine, you know, the Big 12 presented us equal champions. We're going to go head-to-head. That puts Baylor ahead of TCU. I really feel that if Baylor lost to Kansas State, TCU would have stayed number three because that would have been the Big 12's clear champ, and they wouldn't have had to go back to the head-to-head, and there's no way the committee was going to bump Baylor and or, you know, Baylor ahead of Ohio State and Florida State for those final two spots. So, you know, given those parameters, I think they did exactly what they were supposed to do. If they were supposed to choose their four best teams, I think Ohio State would have been out and TCU would have been in.
Dave, now you've got a conversation that's on the table of where this college football playoff goes from here. If you could readjust one area of the selection committee or the selection process, what would it be?
One thing of the selection process.
What's that one thing that just bugs you from a numbers crunching guy? What's that one thing that you would adjust? Maybe it's something that you include into the conversation, not something that you take away.
You know, I'm kind of torn on it because I think one of the problems with the committee is just there's so few voices there. It's a small sample size. Any couple of people can sway the whole thing one way or another. But, you know, the thing that drove me the most nuts was them coming out with their little hokey-spokey, you know, top 25. You know, every single week, because as we know, it didn't mean anything until the very end, and they seemed to use the bottom half of the top 25 to simply support their decisions on the top half of the 25. That being said, the best thing they did is put out a top 25, because have you ever had so much conversation about all of college football every day for the last 6 weeks? You know,
that's a good point.
It maybe has some flaws, but would you really change that much overall? You know, I mean, maybe they could do some tweaks, but if you tweak one thing, you're going to short something else. You're going to hurt different parts of it no matter what you do. So, I mean, I loved it because it created conversation. People were talking about college football a whole lot more. I think a lot of fans were actually thinking, you know, and looking for numbers and trying to dissect things in ways they've never, you know, looked at college football before, good or bad. So I think the biggest thing is it just stimulated that conversation about college football, and, you know, it gave us something new to talk about. So, I mean, overall, 90% of it, I love it. The 10% that I may not like, shoot, it just may be me. One person, you know, I've had a lot of people say, you know, what about transparency? Transparency would be nice. I think the problem with transparency, they promised us all this transparency and gave us zero transparency. But then again is, you know, do you really want to know how your McDonald's hamburger is put together? You just want them to serve it to you?
No. Let me answer that question. No, I've seen too many science experiments on exactly what that stuff's made of. I'll leave it at that. Dave Bartu right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa, CFBMatrix.com. Dave, I want to get a little bit of a conversation going. Alabama and Ohio State, from your perspective, what is the number showing us about this game? What do you like? Who do you like? Give me the sort of breakdown from your perspective.
Well, you know, the simple 10,000-foot level is number one. Let's start with the talent. Okay, coming into the season, I had Alabama number one after attrition, and Ohio State number two in the country after attrition. You know, to me, this was the national championship matchup. Coaching, argue it either way. You got two great coaches. You know, maybe one edge to one guy or another, depending on who you talk to. But overall, coaching, I think, is going to be very even. You get a talent edge to Alabama. I think the wild card here is simply that Ohio State is starting a dude who's only making a second start in his life. Is he, what, 18, 19 years old? You know? I mean, to me, when you look at something like that, I mean, it is so inconsistent. For a guy that loves trends and consistency, this really throws a wrench into the whole thing. I'm not buying the Big Ten championship game. I think the whole thing was a farce. You know, all that came of it is the Big Ten got an extra $26 million, but that was not the Ohio State defense I've seen all year. That was not the Wisconsin offense, and it really wasn't even the Ohio State offense. Yeah, it was 59-0, but I really see that as an outlier in this. I think the number one thing that stands out for me for Alabama, for my numbers, they are the number one scoring efficiency defense in college football. And you can people talk about yards per this and yards per that. Until the scoreboard starts reading total yards, it's all about points. And Alabama has the best defense in college football. They have a top 20 offense. They are one of the most balanced teams out there. Ohio State, they've relied on their offense the entire season. Defense, barely in the top 30 of scoring efficiency. They're more like a Baylor, a TCU kind of defense. So I think that's going to be their weakness in this football game. And I think they're going to have a tough time scoring it with a very, very inexperienced quarterback. Wisconsin talent versus Alabama talent, to apples to oranges. So I think the real difference in that game is the Alabama defense versus the Ohio State offense, and that Ohio State offense just not having a veteran guy. I think the whole paradigm of this game changes if JT Barrett or even Braxton Miller, a healthy one that had played all year, was back there. So you got to support Alabama. In fact, Vegas does too. It's their fourth most confident straight-up win in the bowl season. So all things being said, you know, I think it's Alabama's to lose. And if you're going to bet something, bet Alabama or not at all.
Now, explain the confidence. I think I know what you're talking about, but what exactly does that mean when you say it's the fourth most confidence that Vegas puts out?
Well, you know something, it's a Vegas number because everybody, you know, a lot of people are doing pools. You know, you got these confidence levels and so forth. The easiest thing to look at how confident Vegas is just look at the lines. We got 38 games. There are only three games that are double-digit lines, Marshall, Utah State, and Stanford. 9.5 points, the opening line for Alabama over Ohio State is the fourth biggest line in college football, at least from the Vegas perspective, and that just tells me that this is their fourth most confident game that they expect a team to win.
Let me go to the Oregon-Florida State game for a couple of minutes. What do you see in this game? As you mentioned, you'll be there at the Rose Bowl. There is trying to find a way for one of those teams to earn a trip to Dallas. Break that game down for us.
Killer game, dude. Totally killer game. You know, with Alabama, the number one scoring efficiency defense, Oregon has the number one scoring efficiency offense. Florida State, number six. To me, this is huge scoring. Plus, you get an SEC ref crew that is handling it. And the SEC is the only conference that started throwing fewer flags per play as pace sped up. So I expect the Rose Bowl to be really high scoring. But when you look at Oregon, you know, as an alum, as a season ticket holder, I was excited when TCU was the number three seed because that's a profile Oregon beats. Oregon in the last 6 years has lost two games to a team they've out-recruited. Two. And that was easily TCU. Then it switches over. The profile that beats Oregon is elite talent, elite speed, elite size. That is Alabama. That is Ohio State. That is Auburn. That is LSU. That is Florida State. The teams that they lose to most often is exactly the Florida State profile. I love Florida State plus 9 points. If you go efficiency numbers, it goes up to Oregon 4.5 points. That's the lean there. But I think one of the biggest upset values, 3-1. You bet $1, you get $3 back. If Florida State wins, I think one of the biggest upset potentials in the bowl season is this one. I think it's going to come down to a one-possession game. This is to me, the better of the two semifinal matchups.
And if that happens, you like Alabama on one side, so who would you like in the finals in that matchup?
Oh, I like Alabama either way because what we just talked about before, Alabama's strength is that defense. I mean, you're talking about during the regular season, to score 7 points, you had to run 25 plays to score 7 points against Alabama, basically, you know, round numbers. And so, to me, the great matchup for Alabama is teams that are balanced towards the offensive side because you know the defense is going to show up, okay? And I think the teams that Alabama doesn't want to play are great defenses, where it slows the game down, it makes it more of a one-possession, closer type of game. Oregon doesn't have that kind of defense. Florida State doesn't have that kind of defense. Neither does Ohio State. I think the whole thing is really tailored towards Alabama, no matter who any of these three teams. I think it really tailors towards their strength in that matchup. So whether it's Oregon or Florida State, you know, I still like the Alabama defense controlling the football game. You know, that being said, from a number standpoint, being able to get the number one scoring efficiency defense versus the number one scoring efficiency offense in college football, yeah, that'd be cool.
Dave Bartu right now, CFBMatrix.com. Dave, let me talk about some of the bowl games outside of this college football playoffs. Is there another one out there that you've just got to say, I've got to watch this game? Which one is it?
To watch this game, you know, the one I was really excited, at least the big six games, you know, when the playoffs were settled and the committee got to choose everybody else, I was really, really hoping for TCU, Baylor, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State getting matched up, where you had the SEC versus the Big 12. So, you know, I got the Ole Miss TCU, and I'm excited about that football game. I'm disappointed we didn't get Mississippi State-Baylor because I think Mississippi State would kick the crap out of them. And I love Ole Miss getting 3.5 points. This is going to be by far the best defense TCU's faced all year. I firmly believe the SEC West is the best division in college football. And I think the Big 12 is overrated. TCU hasn't seen a defense like this. And TCU just got soul crushed. Dude, they were number 3. They beat somebody by 50, and they dropped 3 spots. I'm not sure how mentally they're going to be able to approach this football game, but I think this is a very, very big deal. You got K-State with UCLA, Baylor and Michigan State, and TCU, who everybody said was a top-4 team against probably one of the best teams not to make the playoffs. I'm really excited about that TCU-Ole Miss game.
Man, I've looked at the website, cfbmatrix.com, and you've got a lot of bowl preview thoughts there. You've got some media guides. It's very simple. Click cfbmatrix.com. A lot of information there on the website. Looks great, Dave.
Yeah, well, as soon as we have all the information ready, we will have the bowl preview. It's going to be about 80 pages of Alabama and Ohio State full bowl previews, all the information on all the teams year-to-date, all their past histories, all available for people on their PCs, phones, and tablets, and it'll be free probably in about a week or so.
It's going to be a lot of fun. CFBMatrix.com. Dave, I hope you have a great Christmas, man. Thank you so much for helping us break down Alabama and Ohio State. The next time you and I talk, when we've got a little bit more time, I want to go back to a conversation you and I visited back in the summer with the quarterbacks. But I'm looking up against the break, and I don't have enough time to get into it deeper. But I hope you'll join us in the coming days, and we'll do this again because there's a conversation that you stuck in my head, and I'm going to blame you because you gave it to me, and I think about it all the time when we talk about quarterbacks. What does it really take for a quarterback to win at the University of Alabama? It's something I'll let you get into next time. What a tease. What a tease.
Just call me, man. I'm always, I'm not always available, but let's just set something up. And if the listeners want us to continue the conversation, then I'm all for it.
Dave, thank you so much, man. I hope you have a great day.
Happy holidays, buddy. Thank you for having me on.